The Lord has created another beautiful morning for us today. The warm weather, the sunshine, the rain that we've had in the past. Brother just told me this morning here as I was walking out a few minutes ago that he just didn't know how much he could stand with all this warm weather, nice days and all that. It's just too much for him. I don't think it's too much for any of us. I'm glad that you're here this morning. Here to participate in this holy table. If you haven't yet taken the time to prepare yourselves for that, we have but a few minutes yet that you can do that. I'm reading from section 64, 2, D, and E. Wherefore I say unto you that ye ought to forgive one another. For he that forgiveth not his brother his trespasses standeth condemned before the Lord. For there remaineth in him the greater sin. I, the Lord, will forgive whom I will forgive. But of you it is required to forgive all men. And ye ought to say in your hearts, let God judge between me and thee, and reward thee according to thy deeds. We'll continue our service using hymn number 350. Hymn number 5. Number 5.
We come now before thy throne, and we give thee praise and honor and glory unto thee and to thy Son. We're so thankful, Father, for your love and kindness, for your patience, and for the gift of our Savior, even Jesus Christ. And it's in His blessed name that we come this morning before Your throne. Father, as we enter into this hour here with Thee, we come into this holy sanctuary, this holy of holies, as it were, that we might come and worship Thee and fellowship for a while with You and Your Son. And Father, we know that we have come into Thy presence, for we have felt it here. And we pray that You might continue to pour out Your Spirit upon us in abundance this day as we fellowship together and worship. And my prayer is that truly we would be edified and strengthened in Your love this day, O Lord, as we come to remember that sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ, as He came and gave of Himself, gave us those examples, lived His life, went to the cross and was resurrected on our behalf, that we might, as Your children, come back into Your presence and to be a part of Thy kingdom. Father, I would pray that Your Spirit might rest upon Your servant this day, that truly, Lord, that He might speak with the gift and power of the Holy Ghost this day, and that Holy Ghost might take it deep within our hearts, that we would be lifted up and strengthened once again in Thy love. So bless him, Lord, in those things that You have placed upon his heart, that he might truly speak from up on high. We thank You, Lord, for the blessings of life You've given us, for this opportunity that we have together here this day and partake of these holy emblems, representative of the broken body and the spilt blood of Your Son. And pray, Lord, we pray, Lord, that truly we have come this day with broken hearts and contrite spirits to meet You in this place, that truly we would be blessed. We thank You. We give Thee all praise and honor and glory unto Thee and to Thy Son, even Jesus Christ. And we pray this prayer in His most holy and sacred name. Amen.
God just asked us to return a small portion of what He has done for us and provided for us. And He knows your situation if you can't give but so much, but He'll bless you more the more you return. For He is a giving God, and He'll give you much more than you return to Him. May we pray now? Dear God, hallowed be Thy name. Please forgive us for our sins, our trespasses, and other things we said, done, and thought. Please lead and guide and direct us. And please help this money is spent wisely. It might help our people go in the right direction. And thank You for all that You provide and done for us. In Jesus Christ's name, our Lord and Savior's name, amen. Thank you. I'd like to welcome each and every one to the house of the Lord on this beautiful Sabbath morning. This opportunity that we have to come and petition our God for his forgiveness, that we might be made clean this day. I'd like to read two passages of Scripture found in the 26th chapter of Matthew, dealing with these very emblems that are before you this morning. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and broke it, and blessed it, and gave to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is a remembrance of my body, which I give a ransom for you." And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is a remembrance of my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for as many as shall believe on my name for the remission of their sins. And I give unto you a commandment that ye shall observe to do the things which ye have seen me do, and bear a record of me even unto the end." This is a special service this day, a very special day for especially the two newest members of our congregation, Macy Turner and Timothy Farrell. And they will be sharing their very first communion this day with you, your brothers and their brothers and sisters, as they remember that promise that they made at the water's edge. And it would be good, I believe, for each of us to remember that day in our life, that day that we did also walk down into the waters of baptism, taking upon us the name of Jesus Christ, committing our life to him, and making that promise that we would keep his commandments and always remember him for as long as we shall live. This service is a memorial. We could consider it a memorial service of the life and death of our Savior Jesus Christ. A day of remembrance. A day of self-examination. A day to partake of the Lord's Supper worthily. And reading from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, starting with the 28th verse, we heard this very same scripture in our early morning priesthood prayer service. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among us, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." We have been admonished that we are to examine ourselves, that there be no aught against anyone, that we would make that right before we would partake of the communion. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. As you remember the scripture saying, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Even at the age of 12, He was doing the will of his father. When his parents, after 3 days searching for him, after celebrating the feast of the Passover, they could not find him amongst their kinmen after they had traveled a day's journey from Jerusalem. And they spent the next 2 days looking for him. So that third day, they found him in the temple, teaching those learned men of the day. And his parents were quite upset with him. The scriptures tell us that Mary, his mother, spoke to him, saying, "Behold, your father and I have sought thee diligently." And his remarks to his mother, those famous words as well, "Knew ye not that I must be about my father's business?" At age 12, he was performing that will of his father in teaching those doctors and learned men of that time. At age 30, he began his ministry, calling his 12 apostles, making them fishers of men. He healed the sick and afflicted. He preached repentance, baptism, and salvation to all that would hear. He raised Lazarus from the dead and performed many miracles. And as it was stated in our early prayer service, we each one can look forward to that miracle of forgiveness this day. At age 33, he rode triumphantly into Jerusalem on the back of a young ass to face his accusers. He came to be lifted up upon the cross, giving that ultimate sacrifice of his life for you and for me. In that upper room, commemorating the Passover, Jesus sat down with the 12 and shared with them these emblems of his body and his blood, saying, "This bread is in remembrance of my body, which I give a ransom for you, at price paid for the justice of sin in our lives. This wine is in remembrance of my blood, which is shed for you, for the remission of your sins." And reading from Mark, 14th chapter, starting with the 24th verse. "And as oft as ye do this ordinance, ye will remember me in this hour that I was with you and drank with you of this cup, even the last time in my ministry. Verily I say unto you, of this ye shall bear record. For I will no more drink of the fruit of the vine with you until that day I drink it new in the kingdom of God." I'm looking very forward to that day that our Lord will sit among us and partake of that vine fruit with us once again. Then after supper, they arose and went out into the evening cool air, traveling to the Mount of Olives, and perhaps passing through a vineyard on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then the book of John, chapter 15,
I like to pick up that account where Jesus is sharing some of his very last conversations with his 11. See, Judas had already gone to perform that evil work. So as they were passing through that vineyard on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, he spoke some of these very last words to them, his 11, before Judas and that band of chief priests and elders came to take him away. Starting with the first verse of chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are chosen through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into a fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my works abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. This analogy, I'm sure, was very familiar to his disciples, for they had been around the vineyards many times throughout their lives, I'm sure. Perhaps even picking of that fruit, certainly drinking of it. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. God is the vine dresser of his vineyard. Jesus is that true vine. You are the branches. Every branch in Jesus that beareth not fruit, the Father taketh away to burn. Every branch that beareth fruit, the Father pruneth it, that it may bring more abundant fruit. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. We must abide in Jesus to bear good fruit. This fruit that we're to bearing is not necessarily confined to the winning of souls to Christ, but it's also for that maintaining of all good works. The Father is a vine dresser, the keeper of the vineyard, cutting off and pruning the branches so that they may yield a greater harvest. And I ask you each one this day, what are you willing for God to prune from your life? I'd like you to seriously consider that question to you personally this day. What it is that you are willing to let God prune from your life this day, to cut it off, to never let it affect your abundant harvest of that good fruit. What is it that you would have God prune from your life this day? Perhaps it might be selfishness or pride. Perhaps worldly desires or even Babylon, the world, and its many follies and pleasures. What are you willing to have God prune from your life this day? Perhaps it might be slothfulness, making excuses for yourself. Or perhaps some of those same sins, some of those same sins that we ask God to forgive us for each and every month. Have we truly come with that broken heart and contrite spirit this day to have our lives pruned of these detriments, to fulfilling that bounteous harvest, those good fruits that we glorify God in performing before Him? And reading from chapter 15 of John again, down to the 13th verse. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus has laid down his life for his friends. You are Jesus' friends. He was willing to make that ultimate sacrifice for you, that we may be washed clean in His blood this day. He has not called us His servants, but He has called us His friends, that we might always have His Spirit to be with us. I truly pray that we each one would remember that day of our commitment at the water's edge, when we witnessed before God that we were willing to take upon us the name of Jesus Christ. That we promised that we would keep all of His commandments, and that we would always remember Him, that we might have His Spirit to be with us always. As this communion is passed before you this day, I would ask again that you might remember that question. What is it exactly that you're willing for God to prune from your life this day, to cut it off, never to let it be an effect of that good fruit, that bounteous harvest, that you might glorify God in performing before Him, your family, your friends, acquaintances, and those that yet need to hear your testimony of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord.
I would ask that you might kneel facing the altar as much as possible while the prayer of bread is offered.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him, and keep his commandments, which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
We want to recognize this morning the two young people that were baptized 2 weeks ago, Macy Turner and Timothy Farrell. And in their recognition, we'd like to have Macy's father, Ed, and Timothy's grandfather, E.J. Brown, serve them first. So if you will, please.
Can we once again kneel facing the altar as much as possible while the prayer is offered over the wine?
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
We would once again like to serve the two young people first, as we did the first time, and thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone who has missed their portion of the bread and wine?
Unless you have been able to sit where we sit from here before, you can't understand what a joy it is to share with you in a service such as this. And I can see in your faces even now that this is truly a solemn occasion when we consider the great sacrifice of our Lord. But saints, we should rejoice. If you have come with that broken heart and contrite spirit that's been spoken of, then you have truly been cleansed from your sin. And so because we've been cleansed, let this kingdom of Jesus Christ be foremost in our minds each day. And let it be the driving force in your life to serve the Lord with all your heart, might, mind, and strength. For there is a great reward ahead. And the reality of these things that are out before us that the Lord has given to us as a goal are true. And if you think that you're not worthy or you could never be good enough, think again, because those are thoughts placed there by the adversary to keep you from your goal. If we serve the Lord by serving each other, as we know He wants us to, My hope for each of you is that not one of us will be left behind in that great day of great endowment, which will surely come to pass for the saints of the Lord. I'd like to read these few words from the book of Luke, chapter 17, beginning in verse 34. Listen closely. I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. The two shall be in the field and the one shall be taken and the other left. These things he spake, signifying the gathering of his saints. And of angels descending and gathering the remainder unto them, the one from the bed, the other from the grinding, and the other from the field, whithersoever he listeth. For verily there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And there shall be no unclean thing, for the earth becoming old, even as a garment, having waxed in corruption, wherefore it vanisheth away, and the footstool remaineth sanctified, cleansed from all sin. Brothers and sisters, the earth will be prepared and cleansed. And for us to abide that day, those that remain on this earth, there will be a highway cast up into the great deep, that we may pass over it, that we may be endowed for that great day ahead. So I would simply say, rejoice in your cleanliness and let us serve him to the best of our ability each day is my prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, it is with deep appreciation that we have come here today to sup with Thee and to try to understand that which Thou hast for us to do. We know in part, our Heavenly Father, that we are to keep Thy commandments fully, and we know that we must truly serve Thee to the end and serve our fellow man. We pray that Thou would bless us in these great endeavors. We pray that Thou would make a special blessing come upon our little sister Macy and our little brother Timothy, that truly they may rejoice in the knowledge that they are laying a foundation of a life of joy and happiness. Bless us to this end, and would Thou bless each home represented here, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.